Well, morning, everyone. My name's Matthew, if we haven't met before. And if you're visiting, hope you enjoy being with us this morning. Just give me a minute while I adjust the screen or the thing. Great. So, a few years ago, back in 2013, I went up to Essex, actually, for a stag do, one of my friends from university. And I got to say, this is one of the most bizarre weekends I've ever been on. It was absolutely crazy. So what happened was, there was one guy who organized it all, and he assigned us all a character that we had to dress up in. And we had to dress up in this like all day, like the whole Saturday, wherever we went, whatever we did. And I was assigned Gandalf. That's us, me on the end. There we go, in the morning. And it was so hot as well. It was like one of those big heat wave weekends. It was absolutely boiling. It was a brilliant weekend. But one thing as well was, because I was Gandalf, whenever we went somewhere to we went for a curry and we went to a pub and different places, part of this like script that this guy had written was I had to go in first and announce to everywhere that we were all coming in. And I was like, I'm not getting married. Like, why am I being stitched up here? But it was very fun. But, like, at the same time, back at home, so around that time, I'd recently come back to Swansea from university and was doing the internship and different things. But it was at that time, I was going through, like, a little hard time as well. So, you know, I'd recently come back from uni, and even though I'd come back home, you know, you make your life yourself in uni and you get all these like friends and things, and then suddenly, you know, you miss them and you miss that. And I'd moved back in with my parents, which was great to live with them. But also, you're used to like living on your own and having your independence and stuff, so you're kind of adjusting to that. That's not kind of what you expect, but it was good for the time I was there. Yeah, so, you're missing your friends, and sometimes you'd feel that, like, a little pinge of loneliness, if you like. And at the same time, Dad was going through radiotherapy and was ill, and Mum was looking after him. And, you know, I was out of uni, and it was, like, my first proper job, if you like. I'm working full-time, and so you're getting used to, like, the pressures of that. And I was just feeling, like, under pressure and all those kind of stuff. And so then I was away, like, with my friends from uni, and they all lived near each other in London, so they were used to hanging out, and it was great catching up. And then one day, me and James, who was the one getting married, and he's one of my best mates at uni, we had just, like, gone off for a walk together, and he was, like, sharing with me, you know, the things that were coming up in his life and getting married. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, I really wish I was in your shoes. You know, some of the things he was describing were the things I really longed for. And then as I was thinking that, he turned to me and said, do you know what? I really wish I had what you had. And I was thinking to myself, what? And he said, yeah, you know, when you describe, you know, being in Swansea and what God's doing in the church there and what you're involved in, it sounds like you have an idea of what you want to do with your life, and God's doing really exciting things. And I don't have that at all. And, you know, I don't really know where my life is going. And it just struck me that here we are, like two friends, pleased for each other. But I was looking at him thinking, oh, I really wish I was in your shoes and had what you had. And he was looking at me thinking, oh, I really wish I had what you had. And it was just all a matter of perspective. And God really spoke to me that day. And I remember coming back on the coach back to Swansea, coming back to the very same situation, but with a completely different attitude and a completely different perspective, and just began to give thanks to God for who he was and what he has done in my life and the things that he is doing. And it completely changed me in some ways, and that was a growth experience for me. That was a moment where I grew as a person. And we're continuing today our Year to Grow series, and we're doing this series because what Jesus has bought for us through his death on the cross and his resurrection, where he came to life again, is Jesus has bought for us freedom. In Galatians, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And when Jesus bought for us freedom, he not only bought us freedom from sin so that we can have relationship with God and experience eternal life, but not only that, Jesus has also bought for us freedom from things like fear in our lives, or freedom from negative patterns of thinking or negative patterns of behavior, or freedom from hurt and pain we've experienced and are carrying around with us, that we can find healing. And Jesus has brought for us complete freedom. And when we eventually get to heaven, or when Jesus returns, we'll step into that freedom fully and we'll experience it fully, and it will be amazing. But as we journey with Jesus now, Jesus increasingly, through the Holy Spirit and with our life together as church, wants to increasingly walk us more and more and more into freedom, and that we can grow into that. And that's what we're exploring together in A Year to Grow. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at different ingredients, practices, gifts from God that help us to increasingly grow in our lives into all that Jesus has for us. And so today, I want to talk about the gift, if you like, of practicing gratitude daily. And practicing gratitude is where we regularly give thanks to God for who he is and what he has done, and recognize in our lives that all that we have is a gift from God. In James, it says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father. And as we give thanks to God, and as we give thanks to others and show appreciation to others in our lives and practice this daily, and as we practice gratitude daily, it becomes an attitude of the heart. And gratitude is a key to growth. It is very, very, very powerful in our lives, and it enables joy. It enables us to experience joy through all circumstances. And Sean spoke so well last week of growing through adversity. And practicing gratitude is one of the keys for growth and for joy in our lives. And that's why throughout the Bible, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that giving thanks and practicing gratitude is so important and is shown to be such a vital thing for our lives and our walk with Jesus. Paul wrote this in Philippians 4, "Don't worry about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus in every situation." And then he says it again in Thessalonians, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." And so practicing gratitude is very, very powerful. Now, when we did Paul's journeys a few months ago before Christmas, we saw how Paul had this amazing encounter with Jesus in the very first few days since Jesus had come back to life and then gone to heaven. And then he met with Paul, and Paul began to spread the news of Jesus all over the known world, and people were coming to faith, and it was amazing. But at the same time, we saw as well, didn't we, with Paul, how he was beaten up, he was imprisoned, he was abandoned by friends, he was chased out of town, he was falsely accused, he spent years in prison when he hadn't done anything wrong. And so Paul was really put through the mill, and he knew the downs of life as well as the ups of life. And yet, when you read his letters to the different churches, you see how he was very plain and frank about the hardships of life, and yet they were full of joy and thanksgiving and hope and meaning and purpose. And this is something that he had discovered. And in Colossians, he wrote this to one of the churches. He said, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." So we see here in this letter that Paul links thankfulness so closely with being rooted in with Jesus. And in the first week of our series, Julian talked about when Jesus says, you know, remain in me, for I am the vine and you are the branches. You can't bear fruit unless you remain in me. And so remaining in Jesus is so crucial. And Paul says that thankfulness is linked to remaining in Jesus. They're so closely tied together. And then Paul says this. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive through thinking about the principles and building your life on the principles of this world rather than on Christ. Now, when Paul was writing this, in his context, a whole load of people had come to faith and discovered Jesus. But then you had different philosophies and ideas of the world and how you would find a full life that people were trying to, you know, draw these Christians away from relying on Jesus. So, for example, many of the Jewish believers continued to think that you had to practice like circumcision and keep the Sabbath day, and this would make you right as well as Jesus. And Paul was saying, no, it's faith in Christ. Or, you know, Greek philosophers with like Stoicism and other ideas of this is what brings you life. And Paul is saying, no, it's not being captive by these other thoughts, but remaining in what the truth of who Jesus is. Now, for us today, we don't have these, like, if you like, Jewish and Greek philosophies kind of changing our thinking and that we're building our lives on. But what for us today might be some of the principles of this world or the culture or the philosophies that are different to building our lives on what Christ says? What could it be for us in our culture? Well, one thing for us is that today we live in what some people called like a scarcity culture, where we feel like we aren't enough. This feeling that we're not enough or we don't have enough. And our consumer culture thrives on this feeling and this idea. And it's well documented that adverts and other things, they thrive on this and they use this to sell us things by presenting pictures of unattainable ideas of perfection to make us want things and to go after things like the perfect family, the perfect life, the perfect holiday, the perfect kitchen, the perfect body, relationship goals, the perfect lifestyle. All of these things that we see, and they create in us a feeling of lacking, even a feeling of shame, because we know that we will never reach or attain this picture. And as we reach out to try and fulfill it, we find that we'll never reach the mark, and it continually puts us in this cycle of reaching for it and never feeling enough. And then we add into this the comparison culture and the visibility culture, where all of our lives are continually on show. And we can't help but compare ourselves with what others are doing and what others are happening and the kind of filtered version of life that's in front of us. And it continually makes us compare and feel bad about ourselves. And either we feel like we're not enough, or it can go on the other hand, the other way, where we end up in this competition of my life is worse than your life. And we almost become competing with others of who has it the hardest. And these two things, these comparison cultures all in the mix. And what happens is the focus is on ourselves and what is missing in our lives and what we don't have, which is stopping us from feeling enough. It's making us feel bad, and it causes us to devalue and miss what we do have and to enjoy what we do have. And it's a trap, it's a lie, and it's very, very convincing because it surrounds us all the time. It's a human philosophy, a construct that's not built on Christ, but it's very convincing. But for us, the simple truth is that Christ is enough. And what he brings to our lives is enough. This is what Paul says here, the next bit. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also complete through your union with Christ. And Christ is enough. And as people, that is what we are made for relationship with God and relationship with one another in Jesus. And so in every circumstance, we can experience love, peace, joy, fulfillment, because we're in Christ. And practicing gratitude is a practical mechanism. It's a gift from God that enables us to reorientate our heart and mind that goes against the flow of the not enough mindset, but it enables us to change our thinking practically to recognize that who we are in Christ is enough. And it's a practical way that God gives us so that we can turn away from one set of thinking and into another and recognize that Christ and what he gives us is enough for me, as we've been singing. Now, I don't know about you, but when even me, as I'm saying now, when I say Christ is enough, or someone says Christ is enough, immediately my mind goes, but what about this? But what about this? But what about this? Because the world that we live in, we're so used to thinking that way. It's like our default mechanism. And that's why gratitude helps us to retrain our mind and to turn that off and to realize that Christ is enough. As it says in Romans 12, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And gratitude is the way that we can switch and see that what we have in Christ is enough and that we are enough in Christ. So, gratitude then is a practice. It's a choice. It doesn't always come naturally. It's not always our default. And we don't always feel like it. But it's a choice. That's why Paul writes, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I was reading a number of years ago about Corrie ten Boom, and she was a Dutch lady who lived in... She was a Dutch lady who lived during the Second World War, and her sister were hiding Jews in their house and helping them to escape. And then during the war, they got caught and they got taken to various concentration camps. And someone on the way, when they first got arrested, sneaked them a Bible. And they managed to take this Bible with them all through these concentration camps, and it was helping them through this experience. And then one day, they got moved to a notorious one called Ravensbrück concentration camp. And they were moved into the biggest dormitory there, and it was the biggest one with the most people, but it was the most crowded, dilapidated, and full of fleas. And Corrie ten Boom says, she turned to her sister and was like, how are we going to get through this? I don't know, we've been through all these things, but this is so much worse. How on earth are we going to survive here? And then her sister remembered what they'd read in the Bible that morning as they'd sneaked in. She said, have a look, that's the answer for us. And this is what I'll read it for you from the book. This is what she writes. She says, I glanced down the dim, long aisle to make sure no guard was in sight, then drew the Bible from its pouch. It was in 1 Thessalonians, I said. In the feeble light, I turned the pages. Here it is. Comfort the frightened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. It seemed written expressively to our situation. Go on, said Betsy. That wasn't it. Betsy was her sister. Oh yes, the next bit. Rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's it, Corrie, that's the answer. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's what we can do, and we can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her and then looked around at the dark, foul-aired room. Such as, I said. Such as being assigned here together. I bit my lip. Oh yes, Lord Jesus, thank you. Such as what you're holding in your hand. I looked down at the Bible. Oh yes, thank you, Lord Jesus, that there was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all these women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy. Thank you for the very crowding in here. Since we're packed so close, many more will hear. She looked at me expectantly. Corrie, she prodded. oh, all right, thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you, Betsy went on, for the fleas and for, whoa, the fleas? This was too much. Betsy, there's no way even God can make me grateful for the fleas. Give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place that God has given us. And as we stood there, between tiers of bunks, we gave thanks for the fleas. But this time, I was sure Betsy was wrong. And then Corrie Ten Boom, she goes on to describe how they began these like worship services in the barracks. And at first they would do it all quietly and secretly because the guards were so strict and were inspecting them all the time. But then they were going undisturbed, and eventually these began to grow. And eventually, like, everyone in the dorm was joining in, and they would do it in Dutch, and then people were translating into their different languages, and people from different churches and traditions were coming in and bringing their songs and contributing, but they were the only ones with a Bible. And said so many people were being touched by God, and it was bringing light and life and hope and love into this dark place. And also that she had been given this bottle of like vitamin, like a medicine kind of thing, and that it just never ran out. And by the end, she was giving everyone like a spoonful a day for weeks on end, and it was like keeping everyone alive almost, and it never ran out, and it was an amazing miracle. And then one day, she said, his sister came walking into the barracks with a big smirk on her face. And she's like, what are you smiling about? And she said that as she'd been walking back, she'd heard like two of the guards, and they were meant to inspect the room. And they were arguing about who was going to do it. And in the end, they decided neither of them would do it because of the fleas. And what had happened was, because that was the flea-infested dormitory, no one would inspect it, which meant that they were able to do all these services undetected. And that was the reason why they had thanked God for the fleas. And it's an amazing story. So these sisters, they chose to practice gratitude. And it brought life and hope and meaning into that dark place. Now, they weren't thanking God for the concentration camp. They weren't thanking God for the evil that was taking place. Because God doesn't want that either. And this year, it doesn't say thank God for the circumstances. We don't have to thank God. You know, if I break my leg, I don't need to thank God that I've broken my leg. We're not thanking God for the circumstances, we're thanking God in all circumstances. That even in this situation, there are things I can give thanks for. Because some things never change. Who God is and what he has done. That God loves you. And he will never stop loving you. And he is faithful to you. And God forgives. Jesus has forgiven all of my sins. All of them. Even the times where I've hurt someone else or been really selfish or unkind. Jesus forgives all of them. And not only that, he chooses to forget them. He doesn't forgive, remember, he forgets them. In Isaiah, it says, I am the one who erases all your sins. For my sake, I will not remember them. And Jesus places us into a community called church. But when we're going through hard times, we can ask them to pray for me. Where we can support one another. Where we can experience God's love together. God speaks to me. God speaks to us through the Bible and through others and in prayer. And God has a purpose for our lives and a meaning for our lives every single day, in every circumstance. And Corrie and her sister, even in that dark place, because they were thankful and found reasons to give thanks in this circumstance, they experienced joy and life and meaning, and they built up others too, and they served others. And we're reading this story today, and it's serving us and building us up as well. And that is the power of gratitude in our life. And practicing gratitude is something deeper than just saying, oh, well, there's always someone worse off than you. Now, sometimes we tell that to ourselves, don't we? It could always get worse, and there's always someone worse off. And that is a helpful thing to remember. It does help us to keep perspective, and it can help us to motivate and not forget people who are in worse situations than us, which is real, and we can do something about that. But that only goes so far. because if I break my leg, and Chloe says to me, oh, well, thank goodness you didn't break both legs. Like, well, yeah, I am grateful I didn't break both legs, but I still got to deal with this broken leg, you know? But giving thanks, it goes deeper than just saying, oh, thank goodness you're not worse off. It's something very practical. And it's not based on comparisons with others, whether for good or whether for bad. But it's recognizing that in my situation and the reality of it, and however hard it is and however I'm feeling, that there are good things in my life and there are good things in this world and that God is good to me and there are things I can give thanks for. Now, this would be a game changer, a life changer for each of us. If every time we compared ourselves to someone else, or every time we felt that pinch of, oh, you know, that pinch of, oh, that would be a trigger to practice gratitude. That instead we would stop and we would thank God for who he is and what he has done and the good things that we have in our lives. Why don't we commit to practicing that and see the power of God in gratitude at work in your life and see how that will change your life and how God will work in you and through you. Just think how that could bring a change into our daily lives. This happened to me the other day. I was driving in the car and I was giving a lift to a friend and they're car had been in for its MOT, and they were saying to me, oh, their car's like a bit of a rusty old banger, but they were also grateful, they'd like a new car, but they were grateful for the car they got because someone had given it to them. And not only that, it had been given by a family member and it had been included in like a multi-car insurance policy, so they hadn't had to pay insurance on it for a while because that was all covered. And as they were describing this, I was thinking, like, that kind of oh came up in me where I was like, oh, that would be nice, someone give me a car and pay my insurance. And I straight had to stop myself. I was like, I'm driving my own car right now. God, I'm thankful that I have a car, you know, and it helped me to be pleased for them and be able to say, wow, that's amazing. You know, God's really blessed you in that, and to be thankful for them and to be thankful in me. And it's a game changer we can experience in our lives. Now, a little side note here, okay, practicing gratitude is something to do in all circumstances, in the good times as well. Now, it's interesting that Paul, in Romans 1, he describes how people have turned away from God. And this is what he says. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And when people stopped giving thanks to God and recognizing that he is the source of their lives and all things, it led them into worshiping other things and going further and further from God. And that's why in the Old Testament, God provided the Israelites with a whole bunch of festivals to remind them that God is the source of everything they have. And in Deuteronomy, it says this, he did this so you would never say to yourself, I achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. So whenever we find ourselves in our life maybe drifting from God, we can ask ourselves, have I forgotten to be giving thanks to God and recognizing God as the source of all the good things in my life? So some practical things then to come to the end-ish. So, number one, practicing gratitude helps us to recognize God in our lives. In Psalm 100, it says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. And his faithfulness continues to each generation. And thankfulness connects us to God. It's taking a moment to thank God for who he is and what he has done. So practically for us, what about if the first moment of each day, when we wake up, rather than, well, you might reach for your phone to turn off the alarm, but then rather than reaching for the phone and checking the news or Facebook or whatever, Instagram, why don't we stop and take a moment to thank God for who he is, what he has done, that we are his. We are in his hands. That he is with us. That he has a purpose for your day. That he loves you. And begin to orient our lives and our thinking and our day around who God is and what he has for us. And to begin our days with thanksgiving. What a difference that would make to the course of our day. Rather than, otherwise, we wake up and we think, first thing we often think is, I haven't had enough sleep. And then we look at the clock, I haven't got enough time. And then at the end of the day, we think, oh, I haven't done enough today. And it was straight away, it's like, I haven't got enough, I haven't done enough, I haven't had enough. But instead, let's give thanks to God for who he is and what we do have in him. Okay, number two, practicing gratitude enables us to appreciate and enjoy what we do have rather than focusing on what we don't. Now, Brené Brown, she is a researcher and a psychologist, and she wrote this book, Daring Greatly. And she was looking at people who'd experienced great loss and tragedy in their lives and yet were still able to experience joy and live joy-filled lives despite what they'd been through. And this is what she said. Every participant who spoke about the ability to stay open to joy also talked about the importance of practicing gratitude. This pattern of association was so thoroughly prevalent in the data that I made a commitment as a researcher not to talk about joy without talking about gratitude. And she saw how these people, even all that they'd been through, they recognized that joy, their joy came through gratitude, and they recognized that happiness was related to their circumstances and could be up and down, but that joy was something different, and that joy was a way of experiencing the world and our lives in all circumstances and was related to gratitude and a connection with God. And this is what came out from her research, that it was a spiritual practice that connected them with God. And the two kind of tips that she came to, or practical things, was this. Be grateful for the small things because joy comes in these moments. This is what she discovered in her research. That as people described the things that they missed the most after going through loss, it was never the big things that they recalled. It was always the small daily things that are so easy to miss. Things like one wife saying that she would love coming down the stairs and her husband would be there grumbling at the newspaper. And if only to come down and see him there again. Or a mum who said that she loved hearing her son giggling in the back garden. Or a daughter who said that her mum would always send her these crazy texts and because she could never work her phone properly. And how she'd love to receive one of those now. And so often it's the small things. And for me this past year, as you know, me and Precious have been going out for about 18 months or so. And in this last year, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, and it's been a real challenging year. She's been going through different treatments and operations and radiotherapy, and some of that treatment is still ongoing. And one day we'd had this really particular bad news where I'd been hoping for some good news. And it'd been a long day. I remember leaving her house and coming back home. And it'd been a really hard day, but then just getting into bed and just taking a moment to stop. And just realizing that even all of this, like at the end of the day, I could get into a comfortable bed. That I had a soft pillow to lay on. And that the house was warm. And that in the morning when I wake up and I'll be hungry, that I can go downstairs and make myself breakfast and eat straight away. And if I'm still hungry, I can have two bowls of cereal. And that there are people in the church who are praying for me and praying for Precious and supporting us. And that we have a wonderful church to be thankful for. And I begin to kind of just give thanks for the small things. And then even just the other day, we were in youth, and it was the first youth back at the start of after Christmas. And I just remember stopping, I was by the radiator, just looking around the room and seeing like all the youth just enjoying being back together and in each other's company and just hanging out. And it was such a presence of the Holy Spirit as they were just being together. And it just felt so good to watch. And I just stopped and was just thanking God for the great youth we have in the church. And that we have a great church that values young people. And these such small things that could be so easy to just get on and as you're racing through life and you just don't appreciate and don't see. But so often the small things are so valuable and bring so much joy into our lives. And Brené Brown, she talks about these people, how they practice gratitude daily, and it was a practice and a choice. And she described some of the things that they did where people, it was when they would wake up or go to bed and they would choose to give thanks. Or some people would write it down. They'd keep a thanks journal, a gratitude journal. And every day they would write down things they were thankful for. Or thank you jars where they'd write things down and they'd put it in. Or she said that what she does is she does a lot of research into vulnerability and getting over negative like emotions and stuff. And when she's feeling vulnerable or that pinch of comparison or whatever, she will stop herself and say, I'm feeling vulnerable. I'm thankful for, and would like do that through. And that was her practice. And other things that we can practice that will enable us to experience joy in the things that God has given us already around us and not focus on what we don't have. And then finally, the last thing, I'm coming to an end, I promise. Gratitude enables us to connect with others more deeply. Gratitude helps us to build friendship. I was reading something that Rick Warren wrote, and he said that anyone who's bought a new car or bought a car realizes as soon as you drive it away, its value depreciates. But it's like, what's the opposite of like depreciation? Is appreciation. And that when we appreciate others, we add value to them. And we can add value to others as we express our appreciation. And sometimes it's easy to think, well, that's their job. Or I deserve it. Or that's what friends should do. Or that's because I did this for them. But what gets me is that Jesus died so we could have relationship with him. But Jesus gives thanks for us. Jesus rejoices when we choose to be his friend. He says there's rejoicing in heaven. In the parable, the master says, you good and faithful servant. That's what Jesus says to us, even though he did it all. But he doesn't say, well, that's right, I deserve it because, you know, I did it for you. No, he gives thanks for us. If Jesus gives thanks for us, how much more can we show appreciation and give thanks to others, even if it is their job? How much more can we give thanks and add value to others? And this builds our relationships and builds our connection with others. So let's be intentional about showing appreciation to others. When you're on your way to see someone, when you're on your way to work or small group or your football team or university, can you think about who is there and what have they brought into my life? And how can I thank them? And when you're there, communicate it. Or if you can't think of something on the way, when you're driving home or you're coming home or you're leaving church or you're leaving small group or leaving wherever, can you think, how have they added value to me? What is it about them? And text them and say thank you. And let's make a daily commitment to express our appreciation of others. Today, who can you show appreciation to today? Have a think about who you can do today and start today, this afternoon. So finally, let's practice gratitude and see how that changes our lives. When we find ourselves in a moment of comparing or feeling like this isn't enough or you're not enough or I'm not enough, let's stop. Let that be a trigger to thank God. Take a moment to thank God each morning and each evening that we start and end our day orientating ourselves on who God is and his goodness for our lives. Thank God for what you do have and enjoy the small things. Be intentional and express appreciation of others. Shall we pray and thank God? Yeah, God, we thank you that you have given us this amazing gift of practicing gratitude that will help us to build our lives on you and experience joy in our lives with the things around us. We thank you, God, that every good and perfect gift in our lives comes from you, and that you are so faithful and your love is never ending. And I pray and ask, Holy Spirit, would you come again right now and fill each one of us with your love, that we can experience it in a deeper way as we thank you for it and focus on it in our lives together. In Jesus' name, amen.